I just realized if you were all standing, I was sitting. You were standing on the promises, and I was sitting on the premises. But anyway, I apologize for that. That song says, I stand amazed, doesn't it? And but anyway, thank you for being here this morning. It's great to be in the house of God and to know that we're among people that we love and we appreciate and people that we honor so much because you're children of the Most High God. This morning, I want to talk to you about the subject of baptism. You know, it really is kind of a controversial issue, but it is one that really needs to be discussed in light of what the Bible actually teaches. You know, the reason I say that is that there are many people that do baptize, and they baptize in various modes, either pouring water on someone's head or sprinkling water on their head, or by immersion. Now, we know that according to the Bible, the word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which actually means to immerse. And most newer translations use the word immerse instead of the word baptism or to baptize simply because there is so much confusion about New Testament baptism. So this morning, I want to spend my time here talking to you a little bit about what baptism does and what it will not do, okay? In Acts 2 and verse 36, the Bible says, on the day of Pentecost, when the church had come together, or that is the small nucleus of believers, and Peter stood up with the 11, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were so moved by his declaration of truth that the Bible says in verse 37, they cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin." Now, we know that there are some things that baptism will do and some things that baptism just will not do. I want to begin with the latter, first of all. It does not condemn lost relatives. Say, for instance, if you were lost and you were separated from God and you were not a Christian, and maybe your mom and dad were not Christians, and they died, and then what happens to you? Should you obey the gospel? Should you be baptized? Give your life to Christ? Absolutely. And what you do is not going to affect your parents who live long ago. You know what? My parents lived many, many years ago, and they died. What I do is not going to affect their salvation either way. We all stand accountable to the great God of the earth, and baptism will not condemn your relatives at all. Baptism has no effect. You may have had a great friend. I've had many of them. Many of them I went to high school with. Many of them I went to the university with. And many of them died out of Christ. They never became children of God. They never repented of their sin. They never came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But we know that we as God's children are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we have eternal security as long as we stay in Christ. Now, there's always that possibility of people leaving God. We are complete in Christ. There is no deficiency at all in our relationship with God. We are sealed until the day of redemption when Christ comes again. We are not saved by works. Paul wrote that in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and following. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We are not saved by works, but we are saved by a relationship with God. The Bible teaches that you and I are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what we ought to be doing. You don't work to be saved, but you are saved to work. Now, that's what the Bible actually teaches. They too must answer the call of God. That is your parents, your friends, whoever it happens to be, your enemies, they too are accountable under God. For in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let me share one other thought here with you, and that is, baptism without faithfulness to God will not save you, folks. A lot of people think that baptism is such a key issue that, it's going to take care of all the issues that you face in life. That is absolutely a lie from the depths of hell. Jesus taught, however, in the book of Revelation 2 and verse 10, to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And those in New Testament times who became children of God understood the importance of being faithful unto God. Faithful is not a hit or a miss relationship with God. You know, when you married your wife, you married her because you loved her, and you committed your life to her, and she committed her life unto you, and you became one. And you know what? When we commit our lives unto God, we become one with God. We know that. But we must be faithful to Him, as a man must be faithful to his wife, or vice versa. We know that the church must be faithful to God. You know why? Because God is faithful to us. The Bible says that God who is faithful, over and over in the Word of God, you read that expression. Baptism is actually faith in action. You know, a lot of people want to talk Christianity, but very few people want to live it. But it's so important that our actions speak louder than our words. They do. You know, that's why Jesus said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We must be doers of the word. And listen, if you will, to what Christ taught in the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. When he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Think about it. Two components here. He that believeth and is baptized, and the direct object, if you're diagramming this, it'll be very easy to grasp, is what? Salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, that's what God says. You can't remove one of those and hope that God's going to save you. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. I want to be crowned with glory and honor. And I want to stand in the presence of my God who loved me and sent his own son Jesus into the world to die for fallen man, including me. Now, you know, the gospel account is given in other passages in the Bible and other gospel writers. And in the book of Matthew 28 and verse 20, Christ said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Go into the world and preach the gospel, but then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's why I'm telling you that baptism is not a cure-all, but we must repent. And anyone that says, and I've had many people come to me in late in life and say, well, you know, I've been baptized. But I asked them, did you really give your life to Christ, though? Did you give your life to Jesus when you were baptized? Now, if you didn't, that means you didn't repent. And repentance is a part of the equation as well, was it not? On the day of Pentecost, it was. When they ask what they do to be saved, he said, repent, number one, and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for, here's the direct object, for the remission of your sin. Now, let me go on here. Number three, baptism will not get you out of trouble, okay? I've had people say, well, let's say, for instance, years ago, I robbed the bank. I robbed the bank, but I want to become Christian. Now, do I have to go back and get that money? Y'all are probably asking the same question I'm asking President Trump. What are we going to do about all these tariffs now? Supreme Court says, you know, you just can't do that. That's going to be an interesting thing, isn't it? You cannot keep the money if you stole it. You got to give the money back, don't you? Sure you do. Now, baptism will not get you out of trouble. If you took the life of an individual, baptism's not going to resolve all of the responsibility that you have to society for your violation of God's law and civil law and criminal law as well. I believe in the prison ministry. You know, we support that, and we have a lot of people that have gone out to the prison ministry, and that's a great and wonderful thing. But if you're baptized to have various challenges maybe within the prison and maybe not make it quite so hard on you, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Baptism is not going to get you out of trouble. If you are baptized for the wrong reason, you've misunderstood the purpose of New Testament baptism. You see, because even when we commit crimes, we still owe a debt to the society in which we live. You could be baptized all day long. But you, if you have not committed your life and repented of the sins, and by the way, the word repent doesn't mean to be sorry. The word repent means to change. It's the Greek word meranotha. And when one does not change his life, he has not repented of his sin. The scales of justice continue to turn. They do. But the Word of God must be preached. It must be taught above all else. Baptism, fourthly, will not earn anyone their salvation. Now, I want you to follow what I'm saying this morning, folks. Baptism will not earn anyone there. So you can't earn your salvation. You couldn't give enough to the Lord or to the church to earn or merit salvation. You couldn't give enough of your time to merit your salvation. Listen, you couldn't come to church enough. If you came every time the doors of the church building opened and we were meeting for worship, that would still not be enough. It wouldn't. Now, God says that's not to negate the fact that we are to worship God. For the Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says that we are to motivate one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Salvation, can't earn it because it's a gift. It is not a reward. And I want you to think about this, the difference between the two. Christ taught in the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 and following, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." Your salvation is not a reward. A reward is given for works that are done. And if you go back and read that passage in Revelation 1, Christ said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his works." Not works of merit, but works of faith. And there is a tremendous difference. Salvation is the gift of God, and He gives it to us based upon God's grace and our willingness to yield our lives unto Him. You cannot baptize yourself. Now, this depiction would be what it would be like. According to the Bible, you cannot baptize yourself. No woman ever baptized a man, not according to the Word of God. But you cannot baptize yourself. You can't bury yourself. Do you know that when you die and you draw your last breath, somebody else is going to bury you? Ben might be the one to do it. I don't know. If he's fortunate enough. But now, I don't know. But I know one thing. You cannot carry out a burial yourself. You can't go dig the hole and fall in it and pull dirt. You can't do that. Now, that's why the Bible describes baptism as a burial in the book of Romans chapter 6. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, we should walk in newness of life. Can't bury yourself no more than you can baptize yourself. It must be administered by someone else. And it is a gift of God. It's so important that we understand it. Ephesians 2:9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't stand in the presence of God and boast about all the great things that I have done in my life. Hey, doesn't measure up. It doesn't. Not to attain my salvation. The Lord was baptized not to be cleansed himself, but to cleanse the waters, so that the waters cleansed by the flesh of Christ, which knew no sin, might have the power of baptism. Think about it. When Jesus was immersed at the hands of John the Baptist, there were no sins in that Jordan River. Not from Jesus. They may have been from a lot of places, because we know that John the Baptist baptized near Enon because there was much water there. A lot of sin in that Jordan River, filthy, dirty river. But Jesus was baptized to fulfill, he says, all righteousness. In other words, it was right in the sight of God that he be baptized. But he wasn't baptized to remove sin. Not at all. Baptism does not provide us a license to sin. Now, I want you to follow this one, folks. Sometimes people say, well, I got baptized. I don't know how many times I have preached funerals. People come to me and say, well, he was baptized when he was 12 years old, and because he's baptized, everything's all right. No, it's not all right. Not if he was not properly baptized for the right reason. If he didn't understand what he's doing, it's like those in Acts chapter 19 when Paul was going through the upper coast at Ephesus and he found certain disciples there and he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you were baptized? And they said, we've not even heard of the Holy Spirit. He says, well, under what were you baptized? And he says, well, we were baptized under John's baptism. And at that, at the name of the Lord, they were baptized again the second time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Bible teaches. You do not have a license to sin once you become a Christian. But sometimes people say, I'll live like the devil all of my life, and then when I come to the end of the way, I'll remind God that I was baptized over here 40 years ago, but what'd you do with your life? What did you do with your life? Paul answers it in the book of Romans 1 with a question. And it's a rhetorical question. He knows the answer. He's not looking for an answer. He says, can we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, how can you that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ? And that's the way you get into Christ, by the way. Baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, Paul says, is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we cannot continue to serve sin. There's your answer. We cannot, listen, they were asking the question, is it all right to keep on sinning that grace may abound? Paul says, God forbid. There's the answer too. Nope. There's no license to sin in becoming a Christian and being baptized. Baptism will not save you if you do it for the wrong reason. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. And then in verse 23 of the book of Romans chapter 6, he says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We cannot continue to do what we feel like is all right in our mind. If God condemns it, it is wrong. And don't die in your sin. For Jesus said, for where I go, you cannot come. Listen to that question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that God's grace may abound? Listen to that. People say, well, you know, God's grace is going to cover me. You know what? I love God's grace, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm not saved without it. But it is no reason for me to believe that I can continue to live in sin and let the grace of God take care of it. That's what Paul answers here. He says, God forbid, for how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted, notice that, you know what you do when you plant something? You bury it. I planted some potatoes not long ago. Now coming up. But I couldn't just lay them up on the ground and say, okay, potatoes start producing. Not going to happen. You didn't know your preacher was a farmer, did you? I planted them, and because I planted them, they're going to produce. I have every right to believe that. And when the Bible says that we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, that includes a burial, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I can't wait to see the coming of Jesus Christ burst the clouds of heaven, and the scroll will be unrolled, and you and I will be judged. Paul says that in the book of Hebrews 9:27. The Bible says, appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. But notice again from Romans 6, Paul says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We're in a war with the country of Iran. Just this last week, when I prepared this PowerPoint, there were three, and now there's six. Young men that gave their lives for this country. I hope we don't just blow that off, but that we will pray for the families of those affected. Let's have a moment of silent prayer. The death of innocent lives is such a tragedy, isn't it? I hope they will rest in peace. Christ wants to save you. He wants you to live like him. I want us to live like him. That's what we are all about. No show, no entertainment, just worshiping God. That's what we are about. And glorifying the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Living like Jesus. Out front. Leading the way. Listen to the rest of Romans 6. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, and death hath no more dominion over him. Your sin cannot have dominion over you. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, he says, reckon you also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And let not sin, therefore, reign in your body, your mortal body, but that you should obey it in the lust thereof. No, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves, he says, unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now that's why you bury the old man in baptism. Think about it. Get this picture. We die to sin, just like Jesus died on a cross. We are crucified with him, according to Galatians 2 and verse 20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And when you die to sin, you don't let it reign in your body. That's not to say you're not going to sin again. You make mistakes. We all do. But you don't let it control you. You don't let sin reign in your mortal body. But what do you do about those old sins? Well, Jesus taught that we take the body and we bury someone in New Testament baptism. And when they come up out of that water, they come up created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, some people say, well, baptism doesn't save you. Well, the scripture does say it does save you. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. That's what it says. Go back and look at it. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But the message of God is, don't download sin in your life and hope to stay faithful to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you are under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but that we're under the grace? Paul says, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were, past tense, you repented, that you were the servants of sin, but that you now have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You know, the hand of God is alive and well. And the word of God is also. And God is reaching out to you through his word to come to him. And for those of us who are Christians, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, when Paul preached to others, he asked for a response. When Ananias preached unto Paul prior to him becoming a child of God, he said unto Saul of Tarsus, who had been fasting and praying and blind for 3 days, and Ananias said unto him, and now, Saul, why tarriest thou? Why are you waiting? arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And that's what God is asking us to do this morning. If you're not a Christian, let me appeal to you to come to Christ, to give your life to Him, to be buried in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. And I will tell you very frankly and very briefly here, if you have no intentions of living a Christian godly life, it is not going to benefit you to be baptized. But if you want to make a serious and deep commitment unto God, then you have the opportunity at this moment, while we stand and while we sing.